Hello, and welcome to Create a Way with Art Bundance. I'm your host, Wendy Fadan, and today I'll be interviewing Amelia Rosa. A little bit about Amelia here. Amelia Rosa was raised in Brazil. During her childhood, she lived in Rio de Janeiro, where every sunny weekend was generally spent at the beach. Having moved to south of Brazil, she holds fond memories of summer vacations spent with her married sister in Rio, which also involved many hours at the beach. Her love for the sea and Rio de Janeiro, as well as that city's history, permeates the pages of her first fiction book, Finding Cristina. During her teens, she avidly read in Portuguese, Spanish, English, French, and Italian. Wow. A few years ago, she developed a love for murder mysteries written during the golden age of detective fiction. Amelia moved back to the United States several years ago. She has published poetry and is planning a sequel to Finding Cristina. Her readers can contact her on Facebook, Instagram, and Goodreads, and Twitter. So, welcome, Amelia. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so happy. So I'd really love for you to share about this book of yours, Finding Cristina, and what inspired you to write it.
It's funny because I get asked that many times, and I never thought of what inspired me. The impression I have is that these characters, the main characters, just show up. And I know it's funny because we're talking about fiction, about creatures that don't exist. I just had them, and I decided the time frame. I love the past. Just noticed the books that I read, they're all 1920, 30. And Rio de Janeiro, obviously, I wanted it to be Rio. I actually had another book that I started many years ago. It was in the 1800s, and I got lost in the research because I love reading. And I gave up on that one, maybe one day. And this one, it just, the two people, the more important people showed up, and then a bunch of people just came after them. I used to write poetry, and I think that permeates a little bit in my writing, and that's what I hear people saying sometimes. My first book, I never wrote anything big like that. I used to write poetry when I was in high school. I don't have anything from that time. Of course not. No inspiration. I'm sorry to disappoint everybody. I know, it's so sad. No inspiration.
I'm sure there is the inspiration there, but it's one of those, probably one of those things that's just, you know, intuitive inspiration or something. It's interesting that you say, with your poetry background, was poetry always like was it your first love, poetry, as far as writing goes?
Used to write when I was a kid. I had a wonderful Portuguese teacher. Portuguese is the main language in Brazil. Actually, only Portuguese is official language. And we loved him. He was a crazy guy. And he had a lot of literature in class. I used to read a lot. And for some reason, I decided to write poetry when I was like 13, 14. Never thought of myself as either a writer or a poet, and I don't still consider myself a writer, an author. I write, but that's to be debated if I am really an author. My readers will judge it.
So is that when you started writing? Was when you were much younger, like when you were in grade school?
Yeah, I used to write poetry. I had a good friend of mine too that she used to write, and we had those big things with lots and lots of poetry that it's gone, thank God. There was a big period of my life that I didn't write at all. I was a model, and I'm 6'1". And yeah, everybody sees me when I'm coming. And I worked in conventions too because of the languages. And there was absolutely, and I had a daughter too, so there was absolutely no time for writing. My daughter now is 40 and she lives in Louisiana. Actually, she's a teacher, Spanish teacher. So I'm nothing really interesting to do. And so I decided to write poetry. And actually there was a contest in the Huron Library, poetry contest. And I applied and the first time I got the first prize in poetry. And every year I normally send them something. And the book, I don't know, my husband also kept saying, you have a book on you, because I kept talking about how nice to write a book about this and that. I said, why don't you sit and write? So I did.
Wow, I'm so glad you did too. Oh my gosh. And your book cover, I keep telling you, looks beautiful.
It was my husband who did. I just showed him the pictures I had. We put them in the computer, and he is an engineer. He does engineering work. So for him to put those things together is easy. And I showed him in drawing what I wanted, and he did it. I like it too. And the days is actually because it's a memory for me that my father, like me, he didn't have a green thumb, but one of the few things that he grew that was beautiful were daisies in our house. And in Brazil, they are enormous. They're super tall and big. So I put those daisies there as a memory of my childhood in Brazil that I enjoyed so much.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Yeah. Well, about Brazil, can you share a little bit about why you moved to the States? And now you're in Ohio, which is much less, it's like Ohio, Brazil and Ohio, like such a difference.
Actually, Ohio is just like south of Brazil where my family comes from.
Wow.
They would be Texas, but cold, not like here, but quite cold, depending on where you are in south of Brazil. And where my father is from, they even mix a little bit of Spanish in some, you know, words here and there. He didn't, but it was not uncommon, people who live in the countryside. My parents, my father studied in Stanford, and that's why I was born in Palo Alto in California. And the whole family was here. And when they went back to Brazil, they obviously took me, and they always had some nice memories of here of the United States. You remember we watching videos that my father did of the place, of them, of friends, of them having picnics and the student houses in the area where they lived. And I always had this nice view of the United States. I always wanted to live here, and I love living here. I don't want to go back to Brazil.
Wow.
My family.
Wow, that's I'm sure this is going to sound totally stupid, but it's just one of those brain things, I think, where, because up here in the States, you know, the South means it's warmer, of course, and the North means it's colder. But I guess down in Brazil, the North is warmer than the South. And you tend to kind of forget that when you're stuck in the States for your whole life and you don't travel much, you know, never been down there. So you don't think about the whole equator issue and how the globe actually works.
Yeah,
that is kind of funny.
And they're in winter time now in Brazil, getting towards winter.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the opposite here. And toilets flush the wrong opposite way too.
That's
my husband was fascinated, and we've never found a toilet that really flushed like that. It just went foom down. I know that was a nice conversation. Yes, go ahead. You're gonna cut that, I'm sure.
No, I think that's interesting. I like it. You never know where a conversation is gonna go. Well, with all your all the different languages that you have exposure to and experience with, I'm just curious, as one who really is, I'm someone who's really only comfortable with one language. I can't imagine what it's like as a writer when you have a lot of other languages in your pocket and you're, you know, from it. What's it
Are there any other languages you like to write in? Is it mainly English?
Portuguese is easy for me. I'm having trouble now writing because Latin languages are not very easy to write. French and Italian, French especially, I have forgotten a lot of the writing. Was never very good. I'm very good at speaking. I remember the sounds incredibly well and images too, visual and sound. But Portuguese changes, they are changing a little bit, the grammar here and there. So I'm never 100% sure that I'm writing correctly. And they have lots of accents and things, but it's the easier for me. Although I'm talking to my daughter sometimes and either she or I asking, how do you say that in Portuguese? I can't remember anymore. It's a phenomenon that is very strange. My husband says that when I get older, I'm gonna be like that guy from The Name of the Rose who mixed Latin, French, and Italian. So I'm gonna be speaking everything mixed. But so far, Portuguese is much easier. And when I write English, obviously, thank God there is a word, and I love, and I have to be careful because I love words. So I have to be careful that I spend so much time looking, no, this word is better. No, maybe this, no, maybe that. And so I have to police myself on that.
I've always thought of poetry as the fine art of writing because it really is a form of writing where words are even more important. You know, word choice is even more important. And you're trying to say a lot with fewer words.
Exactly that. Exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
It's a very resumed writing and you have to get a message very, very quickly.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see. So I'd love for you to share about the process that you went through with the self-publishing, if you're okay with sharing that.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's extremely easy. There's a lot of reading. You just go to Amazon. I think it's
KDP Publish.
Yes. And you have to do a lot of reading. But they, even the formatting of the book, they have everything, how to figure the cover in the book. So you see everything, how the reader is going to see when it's ready. And even after it's published, you can make changes, so long as you don't make too many changes, and then it will be a new edition. But it's easy. The only thing is lots of reading to understand the whole process. Make sure that you read every little bit. I have a tendency of jumping around. So
same.
It saves time to make sure that you read absolutely everything that you are aware. It's extremely easy. That's all I can say. If you're thinking about, go for it. Do not sit there and wait. No, just go for it.
That's right.
Agencies are wonderful because they do everything for you, but it's not an easy thing. You have to be what you are writing has to be exactly what they are looking for. You have to have this, and that. And I didn't want to change anything in my book. I think it's like a child. It's the way, that's my child. And I want it just like that because that's what I conceived it. And Amazon is easy. There are also other organizations that do that kind of stuff too around. But Amazon is the most prominent, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I use the same. Yeah, I use Amazon as well, the KDP Publishing. Excuse me.
And then they have, after a while, your book will be available as Sparks. And Sparks is the one that libraries and big organizations go for to buy books. So you're that's out there too.
Yeah, I know that that's connected with Amazon as well. So, and they've got the hardcover version, or they've got a hardcover option for
yes,
for self-publishing there too.
Yeah. Amazon has all kinds of, I have my book is in Kindle regular cover and regular size. I mean, font and the large print. And yeah, you can do it. They have all kinds of options. A hardcover is quite more expensive. So I am unknown. So I decided when I am famous and rich, I'll do it in a hardcover, a nice hardcover.
Yes. Yeah, when it comes to my when it comes to my novels, yeah, I like to keep it soft cover for now, but maybe if I want to feel important, I'll do some hardcovers.
Well, I don't know if you know, but I'm actually writing trying to finish the sequel to I was hoping that I would finish in now in May. I don't know. I'm trying my best, but there are other things happening too. My husband had a couple of little surgeries, small things, but time consuming. You have to take care of them too. And the research, because there is something that I'm using in this book that I know nothing about. And I want to make sure that I'm not writing something absurd. So it's taking a little bit especially because it's English too. It's not my mother tongue. So I have to make notes and study the thing to see how I can convey that correctly.
Is this next book going to take place in Brazil as well?
Yeah. It's all a right. Sequel. Yeah.
Okay, a sequel, yes.
Mostly, most of the characters. I'm not decided yet because, you see, when I write, I hate having everything set up because I get bored. I'd like the characters to surprise me. You're a writer, so you understand what I'm saying. People are probably listening, saying the woman is insane. It's not true. Unless all writers are crazy, because I talk to other writers and they say, oh no, it's like that. Don't worry, you're not nuts. It's just like that. Maybe we are all nuts.
I think we are, but it's but good it's, nuts.
I envy people who have the skeleton of the story completely organized from beginning to end, every chapter, everything. I normally write and then I decide the chapters. Now I'm trying to make the chapters already. So because it's a little more organized.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do that with my the book I'm working on, my sequel as well. And it's been hard because the first book was pure inspiration and just flowed right out of me. The second book was a little harder. And now this third book, it's almost like, oh boy, I've really got to figure out what am I doing for this third book?
What I want to do is, do people really want to know what happened afterwards? I hear several people who I met who read the book, because not everybody who comes to the book signing or the events have read the book. Mm. They're like, oh, I'm so excited you are writing a sequel. I said, okay, and there are like a 10 or 12 that want to read a book. I hope there are more people.
Yeah, it's nice when you've got some people who have read your book and they're saying, oh, I can't wait for the next one, because you know that's helps motivate you forward at least.
Yes.
Yeah. You're like, okay, I got to do this for my readers. They've been waiting how long for this book? Like, will they? My question in my mind is, will they care about it when I finally bring it back?
I know. Yes, that's same thing here.
But yeah, so, that's wonderful. I'm glad you're working on a sequel. Is this? Do you have an idea that you might continue this as a series?
I have okay. Book 3 and 4 in my mind.
Oh wow, good for you.
Okay. Yeah, just the general idea, nothing detailed.
That's great. That's the problem I'm having with book 3 is I have an idea, but I keep kind of flip-flopping a little bit on what that idea was. So yeah. It's the first, but anyway, it's not about my book. So, but yeah, I'm just so happy to be speaking with you because, Amelia, she is one of the authors who is going to be at the book expo, the Indie Author Book Expo in Northern Ohio that, I'm organizing for June 25th, and this has been a wonderful thing to interview the different authors and get to know them personally and to delve more into their work. This has been a great treat for me. So Amelia, I'd love to, you've got your social media, just checking. Do you have a website as well? Or is it?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
Nope. I have a Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Goodreads, but not yet. I'm considering different things from now on. Mm-hmm. Let's see how things go. But so far, yep, you have the correct information.
That's great. And you can definitely find Finding Christina on Amazon for sure as well.
Yep. So I see it in different websites online. If you type Finding Christina, comma Emilia Rosa, you will find other places that sell too. But you know, it's unless it's a bookstore in beside where near where you live, I know that there are bookstores selling, but I don't know if they have the book in the store or if they are selling it online, you know, by mail. So just check it if you don't want to buy it from Amazon for whatever the reason.
yeah, that's true. Well, I'll definitely be having all of those links in the description. And thanks again for being on the show. I'm really, really happy to meet you officially.
Thank you very much. And I'm looking so forward to this event because there are so many authors and such different subjects and styles from what I saw online that I think is going to be super, super nice. And this is going to be the first one. I'm sure there will be several. And as long as I am writing, I want to be in all of them.
Yes. Okay. As long as I'm kicking around, I am doing it as long as I possibly can, because I'm really passionate about self-publishing. And I'm very excited that this is your first book, because kudos to you. I think it takes a lot of bravery to put your first book out there. And it's a very exciting thing. And I'm very happy to support you and promote you any way I can.
Thank you. I do appreciate it. And yeah. I'll see you on the 25th of June.
Yes, exactly. For today's art assignment, I'd like to explore something that came up in my conversation with Amelia. She mentioned that she doesn't normally like to use a skeleton when planning her books. This could also be called a detailed outline, other than a skeleton. In the writing world, there are three kinds of writers: planners, those who prefer the skeleton outlining; pantsters, which is a term I learned from NaNoWriMo, those who prefer to fly by the seat of their pants when writing to allow the flow to happen and allow their characters to lead the way. Once again, that's called a pantster. And then there are the plantsters, which is a hybrid of the two. Those who like to plan, but also allow for those whims to happen. So there we go. We've got the three different kinds of writers: the planners, the pantsters, and the plantsters. So for today's art assignment, I'd like you to write down those three words: planner, pantster, and plantster. It's so funny to say that. Okay, draw sketches of those three terms as little characters. They can be stick people, or they could be funny little monster characters, whatever you want. Think about which character you most identify with in life. Are you a planner? Are you a pantster? Or are you a plantster? Maybe each of these characters have a place in your life. Maybe when you're in the kitchen, you're more of a planner. Maybe when playing with the kids, you're more of a plantster, for example. I invite you to explore this on your own in whichever way you like, through sketching or through journaling. Again, it was such a joy talking with Amelia. I'm getting so much out of these interviews. I'm enjoying them so much. Thank you for spending this time with us. And please leave a like and a comment if you can.
bless you and your own creative journey, as always. And remember, whether you're a planner, a pantster, or a plantster, you can definitely create a way.